and I think that was our goal, all of us. And I think it would be worthwhile to cooperate with the president, the government. If we do what the president has said, we can move this country forward. So, the president was very good, and he wants to cooperate with the president. So, if we consider the sector again as the important sector to grow the economy, and which has been our belief as we have invited the department, as we do usually, just to come and get what is it that the department is planning in terms of their response to the SORNA. We are now going to hand it over to the minister and the department just to take us through. Please don't repeat things that are not well in the soil. The obvious thing that is your day-to-day work should not feature in this presentation. We need things that, in terms of this intervention that the president says you must do in the sector, this is what you're going to do, this is what you're going to do. Don't repeat APP and what is the usual story that we get. We don't want that usual story. And thanks to Minister.
Thanks. Let me start with good news. A record, yes.
Before you start, I forgot to mention that there is an article on the sugar industry. They were very worried that the president has not mentioned they've not talked about them, and they are saying they are on stress, and they thought the president will talk about them. But for me, it's the Minister of Agriculture and Trade and Industry who must speak about them, not the president, because they are not the only sector that is stressed. Because we know that in the country we still have the part of some of the provinces, including KZN, Western Cape, part of Northern Cape, part of Northwest, part of the two states, where there is still drought. And we've seen that the rain started very late, obviously. The sector, as we knew that the climate change will bring, it actually changed even the patterns of rain, and the important thing is to say what is it that we must do ourselves to make sure that we respond on those issues as they arise. So maybe just to, as you talk, give those details, you can just highlight on the sugar industry what are the challenges and what is it that you are doing about them. Not in brief, in detail. So that we cannot go out of this meeting not knowing when people have raised the issues.
Thanks, Chairperson. Thanks, and good morning. The good news is that we have a record in terms of agricultural production and its exports. The report that has been received only yesterday shows that our exports have grown by 7%. That calculates to $10.6 billion. And those are from most of our fruits and wines and other things. But also, what is worrying also is the fact that our imports still remain high, and we need to be looking at export substitution. But some of the products that are involved are your rice and all the rest. But to say that, firstly, last year when we met with the government of Thailand, we agreed that they are coming by April because they have got a technique of producing rice on drainage. We hope that will come very handy to our farmers if they can begin to have that understanding and begin to venture into that. But also to say that in the recent crop estimation, if things remain with the good rains we're seeing are falling now almost across the country, remain as like that without haze, we expect to get 10.4 million tons of white maize, 12.6 tons of yellow maize, which will mean that will be 0.4 million tons of white maize. Hopeful that will remain. It is not a bad chair, given the fact that the rains came late, and in some of the areas through Chairperson, they have been quite stressful situations, especially among those who are in the livestock industry. Areas like Dogbabi and other areas in the Eastern Cape, part of the inland in KZN, has been struck by that drought. But I think we're seeing features of climate change that are worrying, as we have seen this morning, the torrent rains in part of Australia that have resulted into a situation where livestock, is dying because of the levels of water are very high, which means we have to continue working very hard. And I'm sure some of the committee members are aware that around December there was a spillage of animals from the protected area or the red zone area in Limpopo. A lot of work has been done. We believe that very soon we'll be able to be out of the situation we're in now, where we have lost our foot and mouth free status. But we're working very hard. And thanks to the industry participation, we have had teams that are working. We have been able to regain some of the lost trading partners. We are now back into trades in some of the areas because we're able to explain and give confidence the fact that we will not sell any products from areas that are infected. We have been able as well, hoping that very soon we'll be applying to the OIE to retain that status. With all those, Chairperson, and on the sugar cane, I think it may be one of the areas, because they've been complaining to the fact that we have not been able to use sugar beet as a feedstock to our biofuels. And that is a debate we are taking now, saying that if we do that, then sugar will not be used for the current usage we are using it for. And if you know that in Brazil, sugar is cheap because they don't derive their main income from sugar, but more where sugar is used as a feedstock. And because the 20% proposed taxation on sugar is going to put more strain. But what happens again, because sugar relies more on irrigation, where the scarcity of water, those farmers suffer. It's a debate you are in, and I think that the debate on, I think the DG will go as far as what the department has done to make sure that areas that are under stress due to a drought, what we have been doing as a department. And I agree, Chairperson, we need to respond to the positive SONA input by the President. And I'm sure there are good news as well in fisheries, in dealing with issues of creating. I think as we came in here, we saw the innovation. We saw what the country is doing in dealing with the fourth industrial revolution. And I'm sure we will be able to show what we have responded in fisheries, in making sure that fishermen are cutting the middleman. They are able to sell as they fish. They are able to know where their fish goes to. As you consume that fish, you are able to trace its origin. And that is precisely the fish that is produced by our small scale. On small scale fisheries, I can say, we are now towards the end of outlaying that fish. But I'm sure there are areas that are still working, but that report will come as we report. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Good morning, Honourable Members, Chair, Minister, and my colleagues. Chair, I know you don't want to waste your time. I don't know which is vital and not vital, but I will take a cue that the issue of support to smallholder farmers and communities remain a central theme in what we do. So some of the numbers, therefore, I would be starting first with the question that you put second which was progress on the implementation of previous summits. Those announcements, what were the impacts and reasons for non-achievement, if any? The structure of the presentation chair starts with the SONA statement and then put the financial year in which the SONA was pronounced and then the issues, action plans around that SONA in terms of progress. The first statement was made in 2015 by our honorable president, namely that we must increase support security initiatives by fighting poverty through supporting smallholder producers and households. To this effect, on the 2015, 2,817 smallholder producers were supported through various initiatives and were brought the details of the province. Similar on 2016, 51,000, just below 52,000 smallholder producers were supported through various initiatives. I must indicate that, though I'm not going to be specific, that the locomotive that drives the support has been our grant in some instances. Land care in terms of planting in gardens, supporting gardens, i.e. vegetables. And secondly, we have been doing it through cars, doing that. So when we talk these achievements or these initiatives and achievement of support, these two important grants have played a significant role as far as smallholder producers are concerned. 2017-18, we did 86, just below 86,000 smallholder producers that were supported. This support might have come in the form of agricultural inputs, i.e. fertilizers, might have come through seeds and all of those type of things. The households here, we're talking about Ilim, and some of the initiatives is 1 hectare, 1 household, 1 hectare for rural development. We did on 2014-15, 432,000 households were supported with food initiatives. They are the Maritela school nutrition programs, etc. 200,019 on 15-16 households were during the year 15-16 they were supported due to these various programs. Illimalisima and school nutrition programs have been critical in supporting these households. 404 households in 16-17 were supported through the very same initiatives. 12,000, that's below 13,000, that is 12,681 households were supported in the 17-18 financial year. It was also important that behind this support has been the deployment of veterinary graduates to support smallholder producers, especially in the beef commodity area. And in the year of 15-16, we did 126 vets. And this is important given the fact that veterinary sciences only are studied in one university in Pretoria, the University of Pretoria. And their criteria for accepting students is very stringent. And when you look at the ratio of the population group, there has been initially a bias towards white graduates. And we saw it by the complaints that were coming up. We can't be in the village. We need a car. We need a cell phone. The toilets are not right. I certainly then became interested to check at the profile of these people. We found out predominantly they were white females, which was not bad, but we felt we need to meet to do the mix. And that mix has begun to happen via the discussion I've had with the head of that department, that we need more black graduates, veterinary sciences in there. So in the year 16-17, we did 127 vets to assist rural farmers, especially subsistence farmers. 124 vets were done in the year 17-18. It's important to note that these are not cumulative figures. These are year-on-year figures, which indicates a growth in support and giving knowledge to smallholder farmers, just on things like vaccination, and which is killing them, dipping, for example. They have been very significant in doing that. By the way, I also can mention that most of the provinces have got a dedicated vet whose task is to support smallholder farmers. If a commercial farmer called that vet says, no, my job is to do smallholder farming. Whether that's right or wrong in the long run is not here to fortificate, I guess. I guess the most important thing is that smallholder farmers are beginning to get knowledge of science in the in their work around beef commodities in particular. The second one was the statement made on 1414, working in partnership with business, organized labor, and community representatives, we are creating opportunities for young people to be exposed to the world of work through internships, apprenticeships, mentorships, entrepreneurial skills. It is important to say that in 1617, 30 graduates were placed in commodity organizations. This is important. In 1718, 255 graduates were placed in the agriculture, forest, and fisheries sector. But the details of this, which is what I call when delayed, has been to get from the provinces where exactly has this happened. We have the same in 1819, 230 graduates resumed their placement in February 2019, and 25 graduates were replaced with PPECB in March 2019. The nice thing about these graduates, especially in PPECB, is that some of them got employment, permanent employment. So these graduates are not temporary only. 20 extension services, we started with deploying 20 extension services in 1415. In 1540 were deployed. We have to retrain them. We realized as this call was increasing, the alignment between communities and these services was not correct. Knowledge was not there. So we increased knowledge through something we call extension service online. It teaches you via a cell phone, for example, how to plant a cabbage, for example. How deep should it get? In what type of soil should it be? And that was very significant in growing gardens, in growing vegetables in gardens, as opposed to people who were just planting when there was no water, for example. The Western Cape is a typical example of how best this was done through recycling water. The revitalization of agriculture and the agro-processing value chain has been a key statement of former President, Honorable President Zuma, and he spoke to how we need to revitalize agriculture in general, especially in value chain, in value chain terms. Red meat, for example, about almost 12,000 hectares of land were acquired for red meat production. Yes. 29, just below 30,000 jobs were then created as a result. The investment there was about 398 million rand. Fruit and vegetables, 13,982 hectares were planted under production, 13,751 jobs were created with an investment of about 456 million rand. That's the same with wheat, the same with sugar. But the most important thing about these steps, they will manifest themselves in the form of an export orientation implementation strategy. And I will talk to that as I progress. The most of our products in the fruit industry, both stone and palm, were actually exports. The donors, I'm sure we heard a lot about the donors, table grapes. But these were temporary jobs in some instances. The one that I've heard some very strong comments from the chair previously has been this one, which was the president pronounced. Government will implement a commercialization support program for 450 black smallholder farmers. We have then begun to put in, now though the provinces have been continuously supporting those, and sometimes when we needed the location of farms, some of those when we were verifying, as well, the honorable members were asking about the list of those farms, what is the age, what is the profile, what commodities are they. The provinces were validating because the criteria was not clear. Once we set the criteria, we then began to support them in specific terms. We now have determined that the blended finance, out of blended finance, 10 million per year will be put aside as a grant with a loan to support these commercial farmers. We've begun that with some farmers in Limpopo who are doing moringa, for example. They have already moved into the value chain. Some black farmers in Limpopo, I'm sorry, in Mpumalanga, who are doing some nuts. We have now, they are now able to bake their nuts for the first time, which they are able to crack those nuts for the first time because we are giving them commercial machines to be able to do this, which they were not able to do before, thus increasing the margins on those on their investment. We all continue to train them. I mean, we've heard about exports of maize to Vietnam. These are some of these farmers. And these were increasing now by revitalizing the agreement we had with the Food World, the World Food Program. And we met with them last week, me and Minister. We want to do the export to Lesotho and Swaziland once again. And they are excited that we can do this with them. And we are putting these farmers through those. And some of the initiatives is to partner them with white commercial farmers on specific commodities with an emphasis on inculcating a sense of production discipline. Because agriculture is about that. And then this export-oriented, the president spoke about this, though, I mean, it has been spoken several times, but it's very interesting in terms of our growth in exports, which we are going to talk about, which has been reported now in quarter three of 2018, I mean, 10.6 billion in trade. It's exciting now. The fruits are being bearing. South Africa has acceded to signing, for example, the tripartite free trade area agreement, which brings together the Southern African Development Community, the Common Market for East Africa and Southern Africa Community COMESA, the East and West African Community, which will bring about 658 million people for market for export. That is what South Africa will be getting into by getting into this agreement, becoming part of this free trade agreement. In 2016, during this period under review, South Africa concluded negotiations. The only problem that we are having, Honorable Chair, is the negotiations on tariffs. Some want tariffs higher, some want tariffs low, some want it to be a free trade, but that still is going on. So this point I just mentioned, that the President mentioned the free trade area, that's slide 12. The free trade area will combine markets of 26 countries with a population of nearly 656, my apologies, beg your pardon, 625. These are the markets to which we are going to be exposed, given everything I've said about exports before. So Africa, this is the market that is facing South Africa. We have, for example, in 2018-19, through the One Industry Value Chain Roundtable, fruit industry, value chain roundtable, and all these other agricultural markets identified exports targeting emerging markets in Africa, Asia, Middle East. I can talk about this later. It's so interesting, the MOUs we have signed in China, for example, to export beef. We are in pears, we are now getting into ostrich, we are getting into giraffe. And we've got minister just went to Thailand, the Thais want our meat, India wants its curries, we are already exporting mangoes to India, avocados. These are the bilaterals that we sign. And this is where the farmers, both partnering with commercial farmers and passing the phytosanitary and sanitary requirements, are able to export to these countries. That brings not only foreign exchange, it increases job opportunities. Because the more exports we bring, the more work we open up. And that work is pretty much the work that is lower level. And we're exporting to Philippines, Japan. Japan wants to put some tariffs because they want us to get some of their, I think it's not great, I just think the word. They want us to get a little bit of their product. And therefore saying, much as we want your table grapes, get this from us. Saudi Arabia is meat, and UAE is meat, Qatar is meat, and we are bringing in our commercial black farmers into this. And they are stumbling on this. And GAP, especially Global GAP, they are trained on that by DTI. So we're beginning to bring it together to the president, to the president's pronouncement. It repeats the same statement that South Africa will open, that is, where South Africa will open market. Slide 13, we talk about when South Africa began to chair the BRICS, and as they were chairing the BRICS, they began to address something very important in agriculture. Before you can export, we dealt with land care, we dealt with climate smart agriculture, so that we can deal with some of the challenges of climate change. We did sign during this period, it should be important for honorable members to note, we did sign the following agreements. Were signed in MOUs done between Russia in agriculture. We did an agreement with the Agricultural Research Council and the Research Board in India. We also did some agreements, as I mentioned, with China on exports, and they are very much key now. We've just signed the Lucerne Protocol and targeting specifically smallholder farmers. And the challenges we have is the skills capacity of the smallholder farmers to begin to export at volumes and taking into account size, phytosanitary and sanitary requirements. For example, pests. You can't just cut wheat and you cut a grass and it's full of pests. No, they want it clean. And they're identifying what pests are those in that protocol. To that degree, we ensure that no white company will export if it does not link up with a black commercial farm or smallholder farm. The country remains gripped by one of the devastating droughts in the century, which has severely impacted our economy, which negatively affected social services and agricultural production. 2.5 billion rand was made available for the provision of livestock, feed, water, infrastructure, drilling equipment, refurbishment of boreholes, auction sales, and other interventions. State our president to the nation. Our response has been to deal with the allocation of funds in various provinces to deal with this disaster. And we have allocated funds for drought, for feed, for boreholes, and I know that the issue of boreholes needs to be clarified because the list is still needed to ensure that we know where they are they equipped, are they functioning. We have put people to ensure that that is done. But I want to assure honorable members that we have put money through National Treasury to various provinces in various districts to deal with the drought as we know it. However, my emphasis has been we cannot continue dealing with drought this way. We have got to teach our farmers to plant fodder. They must be able to plant turf. They must be able to plant harvest. They must be able to plant aeroplastics, for example, to ensure that when winter comes, they are no longer beggars to government. But they can cut that grass and build for their cattle. And all they need to buy is concentrate in the form of SD100. So that has been, we have had really a strong response to drought. And somehow we are working also, I need to emphasize this, working with organized agriculture. Agri-SA came to see me, and the agribusiness came to see me to say white farmers, commercial farmers are also struggling. And really all I can do is to integrate them into provincial structures so that they are part of the funding by provincial structures. Because we don't fund individual farmers, we're funding farmers via government structures at this point. But that discussion is on with those other organizations. We'll continue to prioritize targeted skills development and capacity building programs for smallholders and emerging black farmers. I think this is very important. Without trained knowledge in the various commodities, especially beef, our farmers are going to struggle. To continue believing that the Nguni is the best animal because its grazing per hectare is lower, when in fact we're talking about a high, big frame animal, such as a Bonsmara, for example, from which if you cut the same pieces from a leg, hind leg for example, you get more value. And the quality of that meat is much softer than the other one. So clearly from a commercial standpoint, then there is a need for behavioral change. in terms of the posture towards quality production informed by production discipline. We are therefore training a cohort. We trained in 2015 107 cooperatives. 2016 up to 2018, the number of cooperatives have increased. What we are assessing now is the impact these cooperatives have on growth. Are they functioning to the level that they can contribute to strategic food security? There are around 250,000 smallholder emerging farmers who are working with land and need support fully developing their businesses, to develop their businesses. We have through this to ensure that these farmers, first we needed to identify if us and the president weighs 250 for. We have researched and found that it comes from the Western Cape, and we are working with them because our figure is bigger than this. However, we have created about 2,098 hectares of temporary unplanted plantations. They are there, the smallholder farmers, working there, as we call them, small growers, all the way up to 69 hectares planted in untemporary planted areas. So there are jobs that are being created. What we are going to do, though, we are going to take the monitors and the evaluators to go and see if these activities of employing these people are effective at this level. And I'm working with the Department of Labor to also ensure that the labor conditions of workers in these plantations are monitored. Opportunity parties in agriculture, land reform and rural development layer. Yes, we did indeed in 2017 a 5-week intensive session was held, which was attended about 161 participants, which is private sector anyway. Delivery plans were developed and 16 operation parties are projects for phase 1 and phase 2 were supported in 2017. That is still ongoing. Since the operation parties are on oceans economy in 2014, we have secured investment of nearly 30 billion, right, created over 7,000 direct jobs. The investments have been mainly in infrastructure development, marine manufacturing, and aquaculture. The bill has been drafted, and I'm sure it went through this honorable house. I understand that bill not approved. Consultation with NEDLAC are on. It went to a stage where it was supposed to go to Parliament, but it could not go through, but it was developed. It was introduced to Cabinet on the 15th of June 2018. Slide 21, I'm trying to make sure that I don't say boring things to my honorable chair. Since the operation parties are on oceans economy in 2014, we have secured so much 30 billion investment. I say repeat of the first statement. Sorry, sorry about that. Agriculture presents one of the greatest opportunities to significantly grow our economy. In 2014-15, 7,187 jobs were created through ILIMA and CAS. In 15-16, 5,131 jobs on working for fisheries programs, jobs for those jobs, 5,000, just above 5,200, below 5,200 jobs were created on working for fisheries program. Land pay contribution with regard to full-time equivalents created 971 jobs. Land care in 2014-15, land care contributed with regard to full time equivalent jobs, created 1,197, 80 jobs. So there have been an increase in jobs through land care, through ILIMA, through CARS, as I mentioned originally. Similarly, in forest, the refurbishment of categories B and C has assisted in creating more jobs. I'm not going to go to details and for the members. Chair, I'm hoping that part of the progressive zone and the statements by the Honorable President have been discussed, have been presented. Maybe what I will do with your permission, Chair, is to go on between the 1920 SONA statement by the President and what is it that we have put into place to ensure that we implement the program. Do I go through, Chair? Honourable Chair, Honourable Member, the President did mention emphatically the potential of agriculture and agriculture for job creation, economic growth, and the President strongly believes, as we do, that the opportunities for growth and job creation are largely undeveloped. Oh, it's the staff response to SONA 2019. Yes, that
is. Can you show it, go?
Yes, I'm putting it.
This putting it, Chair, I did invite some of my DPGs to come. The one that made an apology was Mr. Ramasodi. He went to Northwest. The others missed it because of that and that, and then I said the punishment is that they will never attend this meeting again. Because everyone knew from TTG that they must be here. So they had their own appointment. Are you reporting?
Yes.
Can you get it? Did you get it?
Okay.
Slide 9 to 21.
Yes.
But I'm hearing slide 3, page 3.
Yeah,
my apologies, because this is the most embarrassing video. Always keep on speaking to me.
What you are saying is your paper.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Chair. My apologies for delaying you, Chair. Everybody? The President did, the following would be the statements the President articulated as regard to agriculture and the state of the nation. And then on the right, we have got the APPs for 2019-2020. They certainly are not in detail, but we can discuss them in detail during the question and answer. The President did articulate first that the potential of agriculture in South Africa for job creation and economic growth still remains largely undeveloped. So the APP is to stimulate jobs and growth through strategic commodities selected under seven partisan initiatives, which intends to unlock the potential for job creation. We're talking here about markets for exports. I mean, the President was at pains to keep on throwing us into the export market for exchange rates. And I think we are ready for towards that, though we are not going to forfeit strategic food security production for our own country. The development of value chains at a provincial level, namely livestock, horticulture and grains, horticulture in particular is an area of our comparative advantage. The projects contributing to this will be finalized by May 2019. Working for fisheries program, 546 full-time equivalents, number of jobs created through forestry operations, that is revitalizing of state nurseries, refurbishment of plantations, and greening. This is critical, especially if you look at Nyanza, now what happened in Nyanza, the forest was completely demolished, burned. We are going to revitalize that forest. And secondly, there will be coming out of that a number of jobs. Land care jobs through full-time equivalent 900, and land care has been given a budget just now of 100 million by National Treasury to deal with the issues of land care management, management of soil erosion, smart agriculture, and that money is being utilized as we speak. And I said if they cannot utilize it fully, some of it we must make a request to deal with drought. Working for a number of jobs created through this revitalization, land care cast, 15,100 jobs will be created, and Ilima will come with about 17,000, just below 18,000 jobs. South Africa still has a large areas of underutilized and unproductive land. Well, here we work with other partners. For example, hand coordinate 120 hectares to be planted for food production by provinces, and that's going to be set as a target. Formalized integration of smallholder farmers in the grain value chain, and it is important, and especially a commercial part of that. Unlocking finance for grains through public-private partnership to enable smallholder farmers to obtain commercial production finance. There are many companies BKB, for example, have shown their interest in borrowing smallholder farmers. Establish grain central information center and satellite distribution network that will provide grains to farmers, researchers, and extension services. There are about 250,000 smallholder emerging farmers who are working the land and need support in fully developing their own businesses. Here we collaborate with Dr. DLR to do financial support to these farmers through blended finance products for the support of smallholder farmers, which is in a pilot stage. I think I hasten to add that we have already approved projects on a commercial scale between black farmers. I think we've approved projects up to a value of 150 million to start the project. Some, we did find some problems with some of the applications, but the process is rolling, because I said it must start rolling if it is going to do anything. Collective efforts in smallholder development support will increase smallholder participation in dynamic markets. Provinces are going to carry a large amount of this work. All we need to do is to make sure that the numbers they've given us are now going to be monitored. They are the monitors we have appointed now in CAF, monitor to evaluate this, whether what they are talking about here does happen or does not happen. The back page is just provincial breakdown. It was me saying we cannot just prevent global numbers. I'm sure the own members would like to know. This is about extension support partners. I would like to draw your attention to that. It's just an accompaniment. As part of the stimulus package in agriculture, we have invested significantly in comprehensive farmer development support to ensure that restituted and community land is productively utilized. Temporary unplanted plantations, increased production in 2019, we're going to focus on that. Increased production and productivity in prioritized areas as well as value chains through development of business model. Recommissioning of the Western Cape state forest plantations, this is important. Promotion of blended financial model to support smallholder farmers, it is going to happen. And we've had agreements, we've signed agreements with the land bank. We are questioning a number of things, including the amount of money they charge just to administer the fund. And we are coming to terms that they cannot bear the criticism continually of just wanting to keep government money. We are coordinating with public entities and provinces to support 25,000 smallholder producers. Agricultural exports are an important source of revenue for our economy, and developing our agricultural sector is key to enhancing our food security and for attracting investment. Implementation of export protocols for phytosanitary requirements. This I've spoken to, and I'll continue speaking about this, because already the results are showing 10.6 billion rand in quarter three. Billion dollars in quarter three as a result of these export protocols. Implementation of trade agreements, the Minister, Honorable Senzeni Zokwana, did sign the World Wine Trade Group Protocol in 2007. No, my new withdrawal, no, Minister was not there in 2007. But the Minister of Agriculture is on record that he did sign this agreement in 2007. World Wine Trade Group agreement was signed on requirements for wine labeling in October 2018. Washington Minister was there and vouched that. This protocol will contribute towards the reduction of risk for wine exporters shipping wine to the World Wine Trade Group. The agreement clarifies certain labeling terms and ensures the World Wine Trade Group members accept each other's items in this regard. The labeling protocol must be ratified by Parliament before implementation. Agricultural exports are an important source of revenue for our economy, and it enhances food security by attracting investment. The protocols we are going to talk about, the protocols we have signed with China on Lucerne, on meat, implementation of animal improvement schemes, the KYD, though it took time to create problems, though it was very good at local level, but some problems with departmental, which I clarified, we have paid the LC. Personnel strategy has been implemented, very, very good personnel strategy. We will continue to prioritize targeted skills development and capacity building programs for smallholder and emerging black farmers. The agri-sector budget of $800 million has been set aside specifically to upskill black farmers and smallholder farmers. It is in the stimulus package. Deployment of 150 compulsory community service veterinarians in areas that are smallholder herdmen in villages. And I'm so pleased that our vet services have actually penetrated. They come up with a strategy on the spot. They come up with a strategy of how to distribute medicine in rural areas. Implementation of national policy and extension and advisory service. We have got to do that. Deployment of extended support professionals per commodity. Cooperative supported within training. We have been training cooperatives. We have been deploying extension services to ensure that commodity organizations are supported. In the coming year, we will continue to focus on high-value agricultural products with export potential, such as our fruit, wine, and vegetable industries, as well as poultry and red meat. And it is indeed a knowledgeable thing that in poultry, we have had challenges as a result of, I think, an unfair trade balance and called dumping and thus displacing our local production. But red meat, we are doing it pretty much well, and we just need to ensure that smallholder farmers are trained in beef production. Winners. We have got to plant improvement schemes for prioritized value chain commodities has been implemented. Propagation material for two plant improvement schemes, namely seed, crop, and fruit schemes. Implementation of export protocols for phytosanitary requirements. These are just the details of the new markets, the type of fruits per each of these markets. These are the markets that we have lined up for export growth. Since the operation parties around the oceans economy in 2014, we have secured investment of nearly $30 billion. And created over 7,000 direct jobs. The investments have been mainly in infrastructure development, marine manufacturing, and aquaculture. Expected investment in the oceans economy over the next 5 years will make it at $3.8 billion by government and $65 billion by the private sector. These investments are expected to create over 100,000 direct jobs and more than 250,000 indirect jobs. Well, APP, Operation Pakistan Ocean's Economy, includes continuing to support and implement 35 aquaculture catalyst projects. Very good. The planning and implementation of aquaculture development zones, among others, in Oloha, AGZ, Amatingulu, Alboa Bay, and Vanderkloof AGZ. E.g., for example, the impact of rollout Saldana Bay aquaculture development zone alone. Once fully operational, will, one, increase current production in the bay to 20,000 tons per annum over the next 5 years, increase direct jobs by 250,000, by 2,500 value chain, up to 8,000 jobs, support new SMMEs and BBBE entrants into the sector, increasing investment by government and the private sector of over 400 million. That is the Saldanha Bay Aquaculture Development Zone. That's what it can give rise to. We have not even spoken about others yet. An enabling environment is being created in terms of one, access to local and international markets, access to funding, skills development, and legislation such as Aquaculture Development Bill that is currently in Parliament. And the draft implementation plan will be developed very soon. To ensure that small-scale aquaculture is promoted and supported, a small-scale aquaculture program is being developed. Research is being conducted to improve on existing technology, improve the resilience of the sector to adapt to climate change, very important, and foster technological development on new species of fish. Honorable Chair, the response to the SONA as we understood it is that, and we are going to put this in detail and in a measurable, monitorable, and evaluating manner. And if there is anything we might have not identified, it is not because we felt we cannot do, it might have been that it missed us. But these are the key, we believe. And in those, Honorable Chair, I'll hand over to the Minister.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, that was never despite that what we need progress in terms of the last trauma and the present trauma. The trauma department is outlining what they are going to, how they have understood the president when they understood them, and that is the issues that they have raised. Let me allow members to interact with the presentation. But I was just worried that the fishery was not set anything in terms of fish share. In terms of ocean economy, two things, one sentence.
I think, Chair, what occurred is that they received the request late. And in the process of this question, supervisor will talk to the number of smallholder, this number of smallholder fisheries, fishermen who have received quotas, and how far that process is. So we'll talk about the employment of military veterans that now we have done through the working for the public works program. So there's quite a lot of things that have been happening in fisheries that they received the request late. My apologies, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, honorable members, Minister, DG and the colleagues. Chair, the issues, as DG has indicated, with the SONA, it was just only on Operation Pakiza, the Oceans Economy, and I won't dwell on that. You've spoken on that. Now you've asked me to speak on the rest of the issues, and I think it's quite important to touch on the right allocation, because on the January 8th statement, it was quite clear in the President's pronunciation on the rights allocation. We are at a stage where we are starting the process for the new allocations that are due in 2020. Usually we start the process 2 years in advance because it's quite a very extensive process, and in particular we are allocating very expensive, if I were to say, sectors, hate in Sichuan. The squid sectors are quite very important sectors of our economy when it comes to the fisheries. Unfortunately, we have been delayed in this process due to a number of reasons. Unfortunately, we could not begin. We should have started last year in June already. I was awake until October of last year. So we are beginning to try and catch up and try to do as much as possible of what we can do within that space. We want to indicate to the honorable members, we are not going to make the target of allocating these rights before they expire, given the challenges that we have had. However, we will do our best to try and fast track the process. And fortunately, the Minister of DPSA has approved the contract workers to assist us in the process. So we've got 20 contract posts that have been approved, and those 20 people have started. So we are really trying to speed up the process. Mm-hmm. On the issue of the agreement, DG has asked me to talk about this. Honorable Chair and honorable members will recall that there was a almost evangelical process that we were assisted in by the Portfolio Committee to have South Africa becoming a full member of the International Indian Ocean Tuna Commission and of the KSMA, which is a port state measure, and including the Southern Bluefin Tuna Commission. We have had an increase of the allocation for South Africa. The bluefin tuna, for instance, we have had an increase from 40 tons to 450 tons. That has translated to a number of significant jobs. We will provide a report that is detailed, a chain, on how South Africa has benefited and how we continue to benefit. We foresee that in the 1920 financial year, we will have to focus on infrastructure. There is no single cannery in South Africa that cans tuna. The tuna we buy from Woolworths is canned and it's caught in the Maldives. And there's a very big market for tuna worldwide. And South Africa only cans the pilchards and knows nothing about the tuna. And 80% of the southern bluefin tuna of the whole world is caught outside of Durban. So you have the whole world coming right within, close to the South African waters to explore it. So that is going to be our focus with the tuna fishery and Chairperson. With regards to the small-scale implementation, there is evidence of having implemented. We moved from talking about implementing this policy. We are implementing this policy in the Northern Cape, for instance. You don't have interim relief fishers anymore. You've got two cooperatives that are fully functional, and you are having these fishers, including some in the Western Cape, of the app that Minister was talking about. It's called Abalobi. Anybody can download it in their phone. We can provide how you can download this app in your phone. There is 100 restaurants in Cape Town who are buying directly from the fishermen using that app, and we have seen about 1.7 million that has gone in the hands of the fishermen, cutting the middlemen. Woolworths has bought the, Shoprite has bought the, and about 100 restaurants in Cape Town, as I said. So it uses a QR number. So any restaurant you go to, they buy from this fisher. You can use your phone, you scan the QR, it tells you exactly who caught your fish that you are eating, where did they catch it, at what time of the day they caught it, and who that fisherman is, how many children he has, how much he was paid, and how much and how is he using that. We've got a very good story around this. One of the fishermen could not get a bond from the bank, Chairperson, and when he went to the bank all these years, they didn't take him seriously that he's got a job, that he's a fisherman. But using this app, because it has got financial statements as well you can produce, he has now been able to be given a bond of 500,000 by the bank because they see that he is involved in some commercial activity. And these are some of the things that have happened. Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Honourable Member.
Thank you very much.
Honourable
Chair, Honourable Member,
Chair,
thank you, Chairperson. The DG spoke about the 12 million rand for the 450 farmers that each year gets is going to be allocated to help them. Now, if you go from small scale to commercial, it's quite money intensive. 12 million rand is not going to do anything to help 415 small-scale farmers to go commercial. I don't know what that is, a drop in the ocean. I don't know what you're going to do with the 12 million. You can't even, if you can help 10 people with that, it's a lot already. So maybe you can explain to us how you're going to help so many people with 12 million rand. And then, you know what? When I sat here and listened to you, it sounds all good, and it sounds of a department that is working perfectly, and we get to the end of the year, and we get to the budget being spent, and only 40 or 50% of the targets reached. But here you sit and you tell us what you're going to do, and then we know in 6 months' time or 8 months' time we're going to come back here and nothing has happened. You know, we have to have a meeting to discuss what the president had promised in the Sona to make sure you do it, because you haven't been doing it, and now, you know, what guarantees do we have that you're going to do it? I mean, please tell us how you're going to do it, because we know we're going to be here in 8 months' time again. And then, thank you, Chairperson, for raising the issue about fisheries. You know, with aquaculture, there is a lot of red tape. And I mean, something must be done with this red tape. I mean, we have all these people that want to help build the economy, that have lots of money that wants to do it, and there's all this red tape to stop them from doing it. It takes a long time and a lot of effort and a very lot of a lot of money to be able to do it. And this is something that, if you look at Norway, it really brought those people on the map financially and economically, created jobs. And although it's not a labor-intensive job, and it takes long for it to, jobs are still created. So the red tape is a big problem. And then, you know, in South Africa, we need to protect the resources that we have. And we can't even do that. You know, it's like when the president says, you know, he's surprised that the power went off of his, and he's angry. And it comes as a complete surprise to him that the power is going off and there's load shedding. I mean, you know, it seems like we are living in a dream world. Where do we not live between the people, and do we not experience these things outside? And that we sit here and then we know this is not going to happen, that you are telling us. You know, and we can't even protect our resources, that's where I got. And then, you know, the 9 suspended inspectors that are back at work in Gansbaai, which is demoralizing all the other inspectors that are wanting to do their work, you are now telling the poachers and the community that it's okay to steal, it's okay to racketeer, because you will go to court. But you will have your job, and we'll keep on paying you, we'll keep support you, and we will make sure that you keep on stealing so that you can keep going. This is the wrong messages we are sending. I mean, so, Chairperson, I'm very sorry, I'm not very impressed with the actions and everything that has been going on. And Minister, I don't want to fight with you. I just want everything to work, that's all. And I think that's what everybody wants. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, this thing of God, people say there's change. They get baptized and change. So you must consider some of those things happen in the world. So I'm just saying, don't judge them. What they cannot do. When they say they are going to do, probably there's change. We'll see. Let's congratulate them and say,
Honorable Mandela. Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, Minister, DG, DDGs, everyone else, and our colleagues on the side. Wishing all an excellent 2019. Actually, I want to start on your positive point in congratulating the Minister and his team for developing responses so quickly after Sona. So Sort of was after the check, and they are already have been able to apply their minds and say, this is what we can do, Chair. Chair, but also allow me, first of all, to speak to the issue of the ADZ. I don't see it here, but certainly I hope DDG, DG administer that areas in the Overstrand are targeted to become ADZ. Chair, this is very, very important. And also, Chair, let us make sure that we empower the previously disadvantaged in that process. Let us not import a entity that has been advantaged all these years and catapult into this new ADZ chain. But we are making those kinds of mistakes as government. So I'm on page 11, the issue of 250,000 small immersion farms. The president is quite explicit around that, what needs to happen. I'm seeing the responses to target 25,000 and 30 small producers in the provinces, check. Now, this is a far cry from the 250,000. If we are saying in the next 5 years, 25,000 will be targeted, then indeed it will take us quite a long bit of time, Comrade DG, to in actual fact transform or assist 250,000 small emerging farmers to become commercial farmers, say. Honorable von Dahlen, I raised the issue of the 450 producers, say. We have said it before, we can't be serious. We spoke, say, you remember, it was 4,500. That has been reduced to 450. And if we really want to change and transform land ownership, the agricultural sector, its demographics, then we can't have, say, we spent, we target 450 in a 5 year period. And we also cannot say, Jay, that we target 10 million that will be used to assist those 450. We are not serious. Now, if we say 10 million divided amongst 450, what are we saying to the 250,000 small emerging farmers? So we have to be very re-look at our numbers there, Jay. The issue of again coming to
the 10 million is only for blended finance, but there is still conditional grant in the support the small order
farmers. No, I hope so, but even the blended finance model change, if one look at 700 million that has been put by rural development and land reform, 300 by this department, Chair, there's already a billion. We can't say we spent 10 million rand for that, Chair. It's also, I'm saying, when we really need to relook at the numbers, we must look at what is our target and what is it possible that we can then do with that, with that target, Chair. I think I just want to come back to the ocean economy, Chair. They're talking there about, the President is talking about the 104,000 jobs that will be created, Chair. We're talking about 7,000 jobs, 2,500 to 8,000 jobs. Again, our targets are not aligned to what the President is saying, Chair. We really have to relook at those things, Chair. On skills development, Chair, I one hears that the Agri-Sita has been, or will have in this coming budget, 800 million for skills development. fund and look at it. I wish I visited them. Never received such a big amount. They are one of the smallest sitters in all the receivers for budget. It would be welcome, but again, one needs to make sure that the training are indeed targeted, that those monies are not spent on anything else except training, especially for emerging farmers. Let me end the agenda.
Thank you, Honourable Chairman. Can we grant the return?
Thank you, Chair. I'm first with you, sir. One is on your slide 16 on the first presentation. There is where we will continue to prioritize character skill development. This is a good one, but what worries me here is that all what is indicated here is training. I don't know, I'm not sure that training only encompasses capacity building. Because what I know is that in training, you appoint a service provider who is paid, and they go into their business, and this one is trained, and they go home. In most cases, they go home and sit with those skills. And one that is capacity building is not included, it's only this training. I would like maybe some clarity or something to be added on that. On your slides, on that same thing on the cooperatives, I'm also worried about the cooperatives, because there is also already mentioned that there is 85% failure rate of project of the cooperatives in the country. Now, when we mention big numbers of cooperatives, the worry is that are they there, are they working, or is only figures if we have that registered as cooperatives? That one. Firstly, on that one, we go to slide 11. No, first 10, where the potential of agricultural land South Africa job creation is an economic growth still remains largely underdeveloped. There, on our right, it's interesting and there are good things that are mentioned there. But it would be worrying to know what actually, because this project that we're talking about has been there, what has been the shortcoming? What has been the shortfall? Were we not performing? Were we underfunded? What is it that was making this to remain largely underdeveloped? That is the concern on that one. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. Chair, let me not comment on the President's debate. I think we will have time this afternoon and tomorrow where lots of comments will be made, so I think that the comments will be made available there. Chairperson, I just want to say, out of all of this, for me, on slide 25 on the 2019-20, the important thing for us as a portfolio in agriculture would be to look at the reduction of percentage of households vulnerable to hunger. Because that, I think, will give us an indication of all the things that we said, helping small farmers, doing agro-processing, putting things in place. When we get it right, we will see a direct line with percentage of people vulnerable to hunger. For me, that is the only indicator that I think we need to keep an eye on, because that will be the work of what this department then brings to South Africa. So it is therefore for me a bit, and I know it's difficult to put the performance plan indicator in there, but I think that's where the department needs to focus so that we can see
the impact of hungry people in South Africa. And I'm a bit worried that what we have here in this plan is not saying much. So can we focus on that so that we can have a look at the impact? Then Jefferson, I think, mention was made to the 450 commercial farmers. We need a plan for that. We need to know when it's financed, when is that going to come into play, who is going to be, you know, how it's going to work. The 10 million is not enough. We know that, but then at least we need to know that is going to give so much, rural development is going to give so much, and how it's going to work, because it's very difficult for farmers to plan if they don't have a 3 or 4 or 5 years plan in front of them, so that they know exactly where what funding is going to come from. And then Chesterton, we need to know that if a disaster strikes, and I'm very worried about the drought. I know you can't fund really for drought, and the assistance that's been given is never enough. But if a disaster struck, we can't then take away from this 450 farmers the money. Because you have a plan and you have to reroute it somewhere else. So we almost have to reinvest that money. Otherwise we're going to fail our farmers again. And that's what happened in the past 2-3 years. People were on a program and then we had to reroute funds towards disaster funding. So I need to find out from the department, if you're going to have a separate section for disasters. Disasters will happen. Disasters happen every year. According to our disaster act, every department is actually supposed to have their own disaster funding. So we can't keep on taking money away from disaster, from other programs towards the disaster. So I really ask us to look at that. Then Jefferson, just on the sugar thing, it didn't come from me, but it wasn't the drought alone. This thing was dumping. There's sugar being dumped in South Africa. We are not protecting our farmers like we do with the poultry farmers. We need to put, we have to work with DTA on tariffs. And it was one of the discussions. We have to have some kind of an agreement to make sure that we protect vulnerable groups. And the sugar industry is definitely one of those that we need to have. Then I just want to find out on the foot and mouth, I hear positive responses from the industry, but do we still have any negative effects of that currently that's impacting on us, and how do we intend solving it? And Chair, can I just also find out maybe, do we know how, is it our own animals, or is it animals roaming around from the borders that affect it? Did we find out? Thank you, Chair.
No, Chair, I'll be very short. Firstly, I think that the network of congratulate the department for having responded so quickly to issues that were raised by the President last week. It is not everybody who can come to a portfolio committee and say the President has raised these issues. We have already encapsulated those issues in our annual performance plan 2019-2020. It's not easy. So we must congratulate you for that exercise. It means in this department there is some seriousness in terms of doing their work. But I must also add that what impressed me is that some of the issues which were raised by the President already in the previous financial years, we have been dealing with those issues. So it means that it's work in progress. It is not going to be difficult for us going forward to ensure that we achieve all these things which the President has spoken about. I think you need to keep up the good work. And the President did say that we must watch the space. This is part of the space. Now we are seeing what's happening and so on. So I think this is quite good. The other matter which I think we must do, which I think maybe in future, and I'm suggesting that we must do that, just to be a little bit specific and be detailed.
and not go all over the issue. Just to make sure that members are on board, in the same page with yourselves. Because I might understand what you are talking about, but the other member might not understand what is the meaning of a sentence, which you have included in your response. Just in future, just elaborate further to make work easier for everybody. Because listening to some of the members, it is clear that they are unable to comprehend and internalize some of the things that you have raised here, which to me are very clear and they might not be clear to others and so on. So I think in future, let's just do that to make things easier for everybody. And it will also be imperative, Chair, that as this portfolio committee, as and when we interact with some of the things, and raise a lot of things, we must understand that we are talking to a department which has got a budget of less than 7 billion. And they are trying to do more with less, and so on. And I know that more often than not, I say, in agriculture, you don't necessarily need a lot of money because you have commercial farmers and so on. But things have changed. We have emerging black farmers or smallholder farmers and so on. We have got nothing who depends on government for them to survive and for them to become commercial farmers. And for them to do so, it means you need money from the fiscus. And 7 billion, I can tell you now, we will not be able to achieve all this. It's going to be difficult, it's going to take time, and all of us, we must understand this thing. So from where I'm sitting, I'm satisfied, and I just hope that we have budgeted for some of these things. I know we don't have enough money, but let's keep on keeping on things checked.
I think that's why I was saying that it's a bona game. Don't always paint a person with a particular brush. You allow him to give the space to present and say, how wow, people can change. And it's true that we must congratulate and say who would want to see this implementation on the ground. Honorable Pandan, don't just congratulate and say we are talking friends, but I'll say you are doing very well when I see it implemented. Because there's one again, people change. And I want to join to congratulate because if we look where we come from, honorable members. Now that we have been in this committee, we're even starting to look at the implementation, just to understand the implementation. Today, it's very clear. You can see the implementation flowing in a particular direction. It's achievement of your input in the process as members of this portfolio committee. Because at some point, you sit in a meeting and then you say, look, I don't know where we're going. And you must congratulate, because today we can see Minister Wilson and DG for the presentation that we can relate to. And we hope when we come to the APP, we'll see in details targeted and having the budget, as Honorable Margaret said. But, you know, what I don't see, the issue of I was saying that what I didn't see, which is something that was talking about, and because the person was, you know, I'm very worried with the government that when you have this faith, you push this particular thing, when the faith goes, that issue go, and when it, even when it's important. Honorable Becky Kelly has been pushing that the graduates that we produce must allocate them land and develop mm-hmm. interplanar. Now we're talking about places that we commit because black people are associated with work only, not becoming business. That's what we're saying. And the issue of transformation of the sector, very critical as you build this sector. You know, I was in Western Cape in the event, but was not discussed the report. Somebody was saying, if I have black person selling a winner, the price is not, I must give it to the white person to sell it for me to make money. You can't have that situation. So the issue of transformation of the sector is very important. As we build this export and market, open markets for small businesses, people, they must actually benefit out of that without some of these influences. And it's normal in the society that we reconstruct, those things will happen. It will not go away without people tackling them. We have to tackle them. The issue of disaster, I want to agree with honorable things. And we've been raising it, DG and Minister, that the policy framework is there, but it doesn't accommodate our sector per se, in the sense that we're dealing with it, the nature is different. With agriculture, you have to immediate response. But the process that the framework is saying, you budget 1% as a department, and 1% cannot respond to the disaster that you find in our sector. And you have to go and evaluate the things must proclaim, municipality must proclaim, province must proclaim, national must then proclaim, and that's when you get the money to build it. I think that's one of the things, as a sector, we must raise it in that context, because the framework does not actually accommodate the sector. We have to look at how, because there is a money budgeted in treasure, the money should be put national treasure. But to get that money, we must follow that process. But in the process, then you have a problem of losing what you have planted as a farm. So we have to look at how we motivate our case such that it can be given a special case in this regard. And the support of what we are saying, which is for encouraging farmers to plan before that and all those, it's a very good suggestion. But I think one of the things that you were saying through your Pakistan that you presented to us was to say, when we develop the comprehensive support system that we're building, it's about response, having a response, the comprehensive support to the small farmer means the support should then, it shouldn't be an agricultural support only. It should then be anybody that is responsible to support must come in. That is the comprehensive support. So, but I don't see taking that direction into your policy, into the presentation. Because you say comprehensive support and then your operation practices different, and for me, you have to bring all those issues together. And the issue of the sugarcane industry and the poultry, I think we have to deal with them separately and convey our appreciation to the Deputy Minister for having meeting with the grain industry. So I hope they are able to resolve their issues. We want to appreciate, but I think we need the same session with this commodity organization. I hope the round tables are functioning in Riyadh. Is it Riyadh there? No, it's not here. They are particularly. So the round tables for commodities must be, and then you must be monitored. And these are the problems that need to be raised there and be get attended. We must have a program of action to respond to those issues that have been raised. Operation Pakistan has not been launched for the sake of being launched as a program. It's meant to address the problems that are found with particular sectors in relation to them contributing towards the growth of our economy. And they've been raising the problem that since the formation of the round tables for commodities, department is not attending, they are not getting support. And those things need to happen for them, because we would not have the sugar industry crying somewhere there outside the process when the president is speaking. They were supposed to say how well we, our issues are going to get attended to if we have engaged them in the process. The last thing for me, the issues of export, access to small farms and monitoring of conditional grants. For me, if I would say you've done well, the department has gone against people, is when the money that we appropriate goes spent to the intended beneficiaries and the outcome change the lives of our people. That's what we need. And we know that agriculture is a concurrent function, provinces must participate, but there must never be a reason that will be given that says the province so is not doing what, because the national have got the responsibility to develop framework to assist provinces and monitor the those conditional grants. The issues of blended finance. Blended finance means if because we said we would attend the workshop, but it was not that it has not happened. The issue is state, both the two departments will actually budget for, you know, the interest, the reduction of interest. Blended means that land bank will give money, but the department must budget for the gap between the interest that the farmer must pay and with the market. Reduction of the interest in the simple tax. So that's why it will then be 10 million, because the money is there in the system. But what is the problem that we have raised ourselves? Was the progress, the bureaucratic system that for the farmers to access that money.
Great thing.
Yes. So that is the issue that we have raised. So the issue of the money is there, but how people are going to get that money is the problem. So which is something that we'll have to deal with another time, because we want them to come and explain and how do they resolve that system. You can respond, we have 10 minutes to respond. Yeah, 10 minutes.
Thanks. Just to report back to Honorable Van Dalen, in terms of the red tape in aquaculture, we had a meeting with the Minister of DIA last week, and we agreed on the process to fast track. And we only found then that it may not be the EIAs that takes long. It is the concurrency with the local government, because an input must be made by them. And I found that we are competing with other organizations, like those who are in different fora, like your NGOs and others, who may put up an objection. We said to our teams, scale up the issues if there are such things. And I can assure you, I foresee now a first problem thereof, because our teams, they are meeting this week, both fisheries and as well as senior. We agreed to fast track the program of and then removing the red tape. On the workers you referred to, I got your SMS last week. I will be engaging the DTG to look at what, and remember as well, there are other stringent government policies that I agree with you, don't as well with the people who are working very hard, but we are going to follow up and see what could be done. AGZ, Honorable Madel, I think we're clear and we're taking your point of what should be done. And I'm sure when you use up the amount, I'm sure DG will respond, because it's another view that the amount that has been set aside for now seems not to be enough to give much in dealing with that. Bob, I agree with you. I served in one of the sweaters. Sometimes they train for a week and they claim that is training. We need to ensure that we follow up what kind of training is given, so that it includes the issue race as well, that it must include as well not only training, skilling, but also capacitating. But again, let me first respect the issue race by Chairperson. Under that, when you seconded these graduates to commercial operations, the aim is to give them the tools they didn't get while at school, so that when they come back, yes, the aim is to allocate them as farmers. I don't think we must expect all of them to go back and queue for employment, but I think we did not maybe specify that employment. But the aim is to make sure that that cream of young graduates must leave that proposal into the farming field as part of the land expropriation without compensation. Honorable Stein, I think the issue about taking it, but what has contributed as well in the poultry industry is not only diseases. They are also hamstringing practices the industry itself is guilty of. The issue for instance of using water and other liquids to improve the quality, the amount you feed. When you cook it, is less than that. We have been engaging, I think, with my pastor because it inhibits their ability to compete. But I think it's something we need to engage on. But again, I think the adverse impacts of the outbreak of the avian flu, which we never had before, and how it exposed our industry. Because our company must train our people to know very well that biosecurity is very key. What that exposed was the fact that in some of the provinces were vulnerable and the losses were very high. To extend that, we are compelled, by the way, to keep the industry ongoing, was to agree that they will be importing fertilized eggs from the US, which has made that access to 1 kg chicks was a problem. How to fast track deal with that, I think, is what we need to engage on, and I'm sure when we come with the entities, we'll be able then to specify how we're going to do that. FMG, I can assure you it was raised by the media. There was never a seepage from the neighboring countries to our area. Because of drought conditions, animals could not be contained where they were grazing before. And because even our line is imaginary, there's no physical fencing, is something we're working on. That a fence should be put up and we employ people to be rangers so that they can be able to monitor and we get people to buy in and show them. But I think the issue of dealing with the adverse impact thereof to people who are compelled now to do business within that area must be looked at. As a department, we're looking at incentivizing those people. And we're looking at even creating capacity, working with the commercial farmers, that there should be feedlots. Those animals are threatened because proof is scientifically. You will not die or be sick because you have taken meat of an FMT cleaned animal, because through vaccination, you can clean those animals. We're also looking at fast-tracking the process of our own facility that is run by ARC, being able to produce that vaccine. And we have approached the federal so that they give the money, bring the money forward and to start it spread over 3 years. And I can assure you, the way we worked with the private sector, the way we're able to manage the media, not manage, but to give proper briefing. Not manage is the wrong word. We're not managing them, but we're giving them the correct Because some of them are believing that there is FMD even in Gauteng. That FMD can affect even other animals. And I said, no, we need to make sure that they're given ration. We created three teams. One was dealing with informing our trade partners. The one was dealing with communication. The one was dealing with technical work in the area. Vaccinating all the animals that were exposed. Make sure that others are analyzed to see if any of them are symptomatic. The only way we could win that battle was to contain the disease within that area, which I think, unless there is a new outbreak, we are winning. And we can, with that, therefore, apply to the OIE to regard us as FMD-free outside that area. And one of the issues we have debated, by the way, when meeting with the industry, especially from Agri-SA, was the issue of looking at, partly now, at the issue of coming up with a system that can protect farmers in a way that they take up cover, so that in the event of a major incident, you are able to be insured, be it a crop, be it your animals. But it's something that is under debate, because I think Treasury is cautious that people can plant inferior maize and make a claim. But those are things we need to ensure that we deal with. Transformation of the industry. I can agree more with the sentiments raised by the views of the chair. We need to transform the industry. And to do that needs to ensure that people feel part of the program. Disaster, I always say that, I mean, this system, this current policy framework is so awkward given the advent of climate change. You are given that you may be facing hardships, but you wait until that strikes, only then to apply. And some places take time to apply sometimes and all that. But what has been what we have done, you know? I think we need to find a way we can report maybe to say, we have a comprehensive support system, especially in the red meat. We have built feed lotting, we have done wholesales, people are making money by selling their cattle properly. And all that's happening is what I think we should be doing, because if you are to deal with planting of feed, you need to make sure that, how do you make sure those animals are prepared? And I agree, around those commodities, around people's DG must sit. It must not be at the behest of a particular official. There must be a standard that goes out to say, these are the meeting plans and monitoring of grants per person. The DG reported that we are working towards now creating a structure that deals with caste rather than the individual. And there will be provincial employees who will be able to monitor and be able to say the maize planted is of quality and train our people. Let me say that there is a program that was launched by the Director General of the World Food Organization last year. It was launched last week on Tuesday, globally, and we participated in that. That program looks at family farming and the impact of innovation and technology. Our department participated in that. So it addresses the issue. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Minister. Unfortunately, you can't end the program. Thank you very much for coming. And I'll let you go out quietly so that we can close the meeting properly as a member. We are really very glad that we have not actually acknowledged the apologies. We have apologies from Kuruka, Solefuru, Walter, and UN. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.